Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Jesus and the Pharisees right after this. You know, in Job 38, verse 24, we read a scientific question. It says, by what way is it that the light is parted? Or when it's paraphrased, we would say, well, by what way or technique is the light apportioned or separated? Now, can you imagine asking that question 4,000 years ago? Because today it's a simple question, and then the student answers by saying, well, we pass it through the prism of the spectroscope. But who could have known anything about a spectroscope 4,000 years ago in Job's day? Now, when we heat a metal red hot, nor heat any substance until it's incandescent, it gives forth rays of light. These rays of light, after passing through the prism of a spectroscope, divide themselves on a graph according to the content of the matter that sent them forth. So when a ray of light reaches us from some far-flung star out in the universe, we need only pass that light ray through a spectroscope to see what the composition of that star is and the proportion of each of its ingredients. This division of light rays is always constant. It doesn't vary, so we can always rely upon its results. The answer, then, is spectroscopic analysis is an exact science, and that's the manner by which the light is apportioned or separated. Now, that places us in a quandary, because either Job knew this or we're dealing with supernatural wisdom that's being revealed here. And that's just one more of the many examples of science in the Bible. And it's one more of the many lessons in our Mosaic Law School that we teach here in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. Hey, we've been talking about Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus had a running battle with these Pharisees for the whole time that he was preaching, teaching, about 3.5 years. It didn't take him long to get on his trail. He was out healing people and raising people from the dead, turning water into wine. And when people would see these supernatural events, these effects, these miracles, right away they said, hey, this must be God that we're dealing with here. This must be the Messiah. Now, that was a direct threat to the leadership. You can imagine when Jesus comes back to planet Earth, it's going to be a direct threat to the Republicans and the Democrats here in the United States. Neither party is going to accept him. When he comes back, there isn't anybody on planet Earth that's going to accept him. He's an invader from space. He's a foreign space alien. And he says very plainly in the book of Revelation that when he comes and returns, the nations are going to fight against him. So he's going to have to put them down. That's the bottom line. He pictures himself in chapter 1, 2, and 3 as a conquering king coming back to conquer and to rule. Boy, that ain't going to be popular in Moscow or Havana or Washington, D.C. or London, Paris or Tokyo. Nobody's going to accept that. Well, when Jesus was here the first time, he didn't come here as a conquering king. He came here as a minister. And he said, let me tell you how this game is going to be played. Now, sit down, shut up, hold your hands, and do what you're told. And nobody wanted to do that. And especially the leadership in Palestine or the leadership in Judea. And so these people that were controlling things there were the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, the essence. They were the religious leaders of their day. Just like today in the United States, it's run by the Catholics and the Protestants, and they divide up their little bailiwicks, and they have their televangelists, and they make $100 million a year. And everything's going fine. They're in cahoots with the politicians. They've got 501c3 tax exemption. Everything's running great. Everything's running fine. Nobody's complaining. Everybody's taking their share. You and I are the people that are paying up. So when the Messiah came into the game, the people involved confronted him. And when they confronted him and figured out that he wasn't on their side and he wasn't neutral, he was decidedly opposed to them, and he told them so. Listen to this story here in Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, because they wash not their hands when they eat bread? And Jesus answered, well then, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Because God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of no effect by your tradition. I showed you that the other day when we read that in the Talmud. In the Talmud, let's see if I can find the Talmud down here, where it talks about cursing parents. Here it is in Sanhedrin 66a. One who curses his parents isn't punished unless he curses them by divine name. So here's a confrontation. They want to know, how come you're not practicing Christmas and Easter like all good Christians do? And he turned around and he turned the tables on him and he said, well, how come you guys over here are eating pig and shellfish and you're not obeying God and keeping his commandments? In this case here, pretty plain, they're teaching that you don't have to practice that fifth commandment, the one that says honor your father and mother. And so he called them hypocrites. Verse 7, he said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Christmas and Easter are commandments of men. Eating pork and unclean foods are commandments of men. You didn't get that from the scripture. You got that from your local church. You got that from your sky pilot, from your holy Joe. And he taught you to break the law. He taught you to be a criminal. And here comes the confrontation. He called them hypocrites. Then in verse 10, he called the multitude, and he said unto them, well, hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the man defiles the man. They're sitting there saying, how come you didn't wash your hands? Well, now we know something more about Jesus. The guy comes in, and he eats without washing his hands first. Boy, would my Aunt Bessie be on his case. I mean, when I came in as a little kid, you know, and I didn't want to wash my hands either. Boy, my Aunt Bessie or my granny would jump on me. They'd not only wash my hands, they'd wash my arms, they'd wash my face, they'd wash my neck. I practically drowned before I could eat dinner, for crying out loud. That's why I always liked Jesus. Every little kid ought to love Jesus, because you could come in and eat without washing your hands. Then in verse 12 comes the kicker. Listen to this. He says, then came his disciples and said unto him, know you not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Hey, when you told them this, don't you know that you offended them? Jesus was anti-Semitic, and he was offensive. Can you believe it? Try it. Next Sunday, tell your pastor over here, you know, when you're coming through the line there, you say, you're a hypocrite. You break the law. You don't follow the law of the scripture. You've got your own traditions. You're following your catechism. See what that gets you. It should get you excommunicated if you're a member. It should get you kicked out. That's what they usually do. There's no room for any freedom of expression in church. There is no room for any personal opinion. And if there is, you better not open your mouth and tell anybody about it. Now, you know that as well as I do. You don't have any personal beliefs in church. You just believe what everybody tells you and what the leadership tells you. You follow in lockstep, just like you do in the army. And if you don't, we'll kick you out and you'll go to hell and burn for eternity. That's the story you get. He went on a step further here in verse 13. He said, he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. Then answered Peter, and he said to him, well, declare unto us then this parable. What are you talking about? And so Jesus said, well, are you also yet without understanding? Do not you yet understand that whatever enters in at your mouth goes into your belly, it's cast out in your draught. But those things which proceed out of your mouth come forth from your heart, your brain, your mind. And that's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. You're not going to be defiled by eating with dirty hands. You're defiled by what comes out of your mouth. Now, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why did he say that? That's their doctrine. Now, who are these Pharisees today? It's our uncle Esau. It's the Talmudic Jews who have infiltrated our churches, infiltrated our government, and is teaching us in our seminaries and teaching us in our public schools to violate the laws of God. Where are you getting this free sex idea from? Don't you get that from sex education in public school? What kind of filth and perversion are you watching on television and seeing in your movies? Doesn't that come from Uncle Esau? And what about all this corruption and chicanery going on in the banking industry and the bailout which has been given to the banking industry by our Congress and our president at your expense? Now, boys and girls, that isn't coming out of the Bible. That's coming out of the Talmud. That's coming from Uncle Esau. That's coming from the Talmudic Jews. Talmudic. It's coming from the Talmud, not coming from the Bible. Now, if you want to practice the Talmud, that's fine. That's what most people do. You want to practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, that's fine. Most people do just that. Mel Gibson I don't think he understands what he's doing here. He's jumping up and down and ranting and raving against the Jews. I don't think he understands who the problem is. The problem isn't from Jews. The problem is from Uncle Esau, the Talmudic Jews, those liars that call themselves Jews and are not, but do lie. The other three groups are fine. Oh, they're breaking the law. They're following Uncle Esau, and they ought not to do that. But at least they are, in fact, descendants of Judah. The Pharez line, Sheila line, and the Zerah line, they're real descendants of Judah, but Uncle Esau isn't. Uncle Esau is, in fact, a Hebrew. He is not an Israelite. He's an Edomite, and he comes from Edom. And there's quite a little story about that. We'll get to that in a minute over here, but let me cross this one off. You transgress the commandments of the elders. And Jesus said, well, you transgress the commandments of God, so which is more important? Jesus offended the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were out to get him, and they tempted him. And in 16, verse 1, this is chapter 16 of Matthew, he says, the Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came, and they tempted. They desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. So he answered, and he said to them, when it is evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, because the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, because the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Now, boys and girls, if you're watching international geopolitics, are you able to discern the signs of the times? Are you paying attention to what's going on? The world is bankrupt. How did it get bankrupt? By using unjust weights and balances, paper money, fiat currencies. We're going into a worldwide depression, just like we had in the 1930s. Hyperinflation's on the way. Our Federal Reserve, our Uncle Esau, is over here printing money like it's going out of style. Well, we've seen hyperinflation here on planet Earth before. It's never brought any peace, security, or prosperity to anybody that's ever practiced it. It brings poverty, heartache, and a loss of everything that we've got. It always has in the past, and I don't see any reason why it would be any different in the future. And yet, Ben Bernanke of the Federal Reserve says we're going to have more quantitative easing, and it'll start the day after the election on November the 3rd. That's when they're going to make the announcement. It's actually already begun. They've already started the process. All right, let's take a look at another one. The Pharisees tempted him in Matthew 16, verse 1. And he said in verse 12 of chapter 16, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Listen to this. He said, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Hey, watch out for this doctrine. And what are these doctrines? Well, let me give you a few illustrations here. Laws and doctrines run parallel or hand in hand. You know, we used to practice in the United States segregation. It was the rule of law here. Uncle Esau came in and said, no, that's discrimination. You can't practice discrimination. You need to practice integration. So our Supreme Court said we need to integrate our schools, integrate all of our society, and we've done that. Do you have more peace or less today after you've practiced this integration program? And the truth of the matter is the nation is more segregated than before, but it's economically segregated rather than socially segregated. In Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, we were told that the purpose for confounding the languages and the institution of nationalism and the separation of the people was because of integration. We were segregated by God himself at the Tower of Babel. And from that day forward, we have said, as people, you know, just human beings on the planet, God, you made a mistake, and we're going to work real hard, and we're going to fix your mistake, and we're going to reintegrate. Well, you know, okay, you have a choice to make, and we've made the choice. But I would predict that it's going to come to a no-good end. Then we've got Christmas, pork, Easter, interracial marriage, unjust weights, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, and voting. That's the top 12. Top 12 right there. We're out here voting for our king. We're practicing usury and interest. We wonder why it is that our government is so screwed up and so corrupt. Has it ever occurred to you that voting wasn't the solution to your problem? That maybe voting is your problem? I mean, you know, just throw it out there for you to think about. You've been voting for 225 years. The problem gets worse every time you vote. You're looking at usury over here. Has it occurred to you that shopping for a mortgage, paying interest on these loans and debts, these credit cards and so on, that maybe that's the reason why you're being kicked out of your house, you're losing your car, you're losing your job, your economy is upside down? You know, God said, don't practice usury and interest. Read them and weep. It's in Exodus 22, 25 to 27. That's one of 18 places in the scripture that says, don't do that. Uncle Esau taught us to practice usury and interest. It's the only thing we know. We go to public school, and I would just simply say to you, you're the net sum product of all of the inputs that have been put into your brain from the time you were a baby until right now, today, listening to me. And then it's the only thing you know. I came along and I said, have you thought about that for a minute? maybe that's part of your problem. People call me on the telephone. They say, well, I'm losing my house. I've lost my job. I'm in debt to the bank. And I'm listening to your program, and I'm looking for a way out. So, well, there's a choice for you to make. You can make the choice today. We can go back to practicing the Ten Commandment law. We can continue on practicing what we have always been practicing, democracy in America. Has it occurred to you that maybe democracy is a problem? Our founding fathers did not give us a democracy. They gave us a republic. That's number one. Number two, not a single member of the Constitutional Convention had a good word to say about a democracy. All democracies end in chaos and destruction. Every single time, without exception. Name one democracy that's been around as long as ours. We're about the longest running, and ours wasn't a democracy until 1933. So from 33 until today, we're not even operating as a democracy for 100 years, and we're on the brink of national catastrophe. Most Americans can't even see the catastrophe coming. They don't see any problems out there. Oh, there's a few. You know, you Tea Party guys are sitting out there saying, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't look good. Hell, this hasn't looked good for 75 years. It's just looking a whole lot worse today than it did 50 years ago or 25 years ago, and it's progressively degenerating. Everything from economics to politics to our social relations, education. Johnny can't read. Johnny could read 1947. What happened between 1947 and 2007 that Johnny can't read? Well, Uncle Esau got into the public schools. That's what happened. We have been suffering from dumbing down. We have been dumbed down. And the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto comes into our public schools, into our social relationships. Free education for all children in public school. That isn't something that comes from our Constitution. That doesn't come from the Scripture. God told you to educate your children at home. Our founding fathers followed that principle of law. And Uncle Esau came along and said, no, our children are our future. We need to educate them. We? Who? Let me ask you this. What in the world would make you think that I should educate your child? Would you want me to educate your child? I don't want you teaching my kid anything. I will teach my child. Then why would we want to turn our children over to a bunch of bureaucrats over here, humanists, or other people who don't share our beliefs, our practices, our religion, our politics, our economics? Why would we want to turn our children over to these people to have them educated in principles that are patently false and patently opposed to what we believe and practice? That's what we do every day when we bundle our children up and send them off to public school to teach them socialism, to teach them lawlessness and criminal behavior in opposition to the Scripture. Now, if that's what you want, well, you're well on your way to success. That's what you've got. Now, if that isn't what you wanted and you're concerned about that, you should beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees, because that's what's in public school. Pharisaical doctrine is in your public schools. It's in your government. It's in your church. That preacher, when he gets up there and teaches you from the pulpit next Sunday, is not going to be teaching you from the Scripture. He's going to be teaching you from the Babylonian Talmud. And he's not even a Talmudic Jew. He'll stand up there and say, I'm a Christian, and he's teaching the Talmud. Now think about that. So the Pharisees were tempting the Messiah constantly. And in Matthew 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? See, there's a divorce statute in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. And they're looking for him to say something in opposition to the Scripture. They want him to say something in opposition to the Word of God. He never did. He was the author. He's the guy that dictated this to Moses, every word of it. Every word of Scripture is dictated by the Creator himself. The Apostle Paul wrote 14 letters, 14 books. That's not his writing. That's not his thinking. He's a scribe. He's a secretary taking dictation. Every one of the writers of the Scripture, 26 writers in Scripture, every single one of them is taking dictation. It was this guy, the Messiah, the guy that we call Jesus. That's the guy that was dictating this. And here comes these Pharisees. This is our Uncle Esau, tempting him, trying to get him to say something contradictory out of his mouth. They weren't his friends, and they're not ours. These people are not our friends. These people have an agenda, and they're certainly entitled to their opinions, and they're entitled to their agenda. And as this one guy pointed out, he said, you know, we have done this to you, and we're the guys that thought this up. You Christians make much note and noise and fury about the undue Jewish influence in your theaters and movie palaces. Well, very good, and granted, your complaint is well-founded. This is Marcus Eli Ravage. And this was cited in 1928 in volume 115, number 3, page 347 and 348, right out of their own mouth. I mean, these guys are right up front. They're just telling you in plain language, we've already conquered you. We just haven't announced it to you yet. America is a conquered vassal state that has been castrated, and we haven't been informed yet of our status, but it's coming. They're going to let you know one of these days. He said, but what is that compared to our staggering influence in your churches, your schools, your laws, and your governments, and the very thoughts that you think every day? What made you think that integration was superior to segregation? Where did you get that idea? Did you get that from the Bible? Cite it to me. Come on, go dig it out. Give me the citation from the Bible where God told you to integrate. Show me in the scripture where God told you that interracial marriage was a good practice. Show me in the scripture, would you? And then while you're at it, look up pig and unclean meats and show me how that works, would you? He says, your very thoughts, what you think every day. You got it from us. Well, of course you did. You got it in public school. They're the ones that funneled this into your brain. Public school is not a place for education. Public school is a place for indoctrination. Church is not the place for education. Church is the place for indoctrination. Indoctrination. We will tell you what to think, and we'll tell you what to regurgitate back on Friday when you take your test. And if you don't regurgitate back the answers that we want to hear, when we're going to flunk you. Goes on and he says, we took you in hand and we pulled down the beautiful and generous structure that you had reared and changed the whole course of your history. We conquered you as no empire of yours ever subjugated Africa or Asia. And we did it all without armies, bullets, blood, turmoil, or force of any kind. The Jews have taken over America without an army. Furthermore, there's only about, I doubt if there's 10 million of them in the whole country. 300 million people have been subjugated by 10 million without an army. Got that? Without bullets, without blood, without any turmoil. They just took over. Henry Kissinger runs this show. He and David Rockefeller. They run this side of the big ditch. Rothschilds run the other side. And we did it solely by the irresistible might of our spirit with ideas and propaganda. And we bought into it. And that's the tragedy of it. We bought into it. Now, we were told, don't do that. Our God did not leave us without instruction. But we didn't follow that instruction. And again, remember what Jesus said. He said, now beware of this doctrine of these Pharisees. We weren't. We bought the doctrine of the Pharisees. We bought into the propaganda of the Pharisees when they brought it into our churches, our school. We didn't challenge evolution. We said, oh, yeah, God's been lying to us. He lied to us about that flood. It was local. It wasn't worldwide. I've said to students who come in here, I said, have you ever read Genesis 6, 7, and 8? Why don't you go read that and then come back and explain to me how this is a local flood. You're gonna submerge all the mountains of the world, 15 cubits deep, but it's going to remain just in Iraq. It isn't going to affect India or China or Japan or North America. How do you do that? Can you explain it? So the Pharisees were constantly tempting him. They were constantly trying to get him to say something contradictory. And the Pharisees sought to lay hands on him. They were trying to capture him. In chapter 21, in verses 45 and 46, they were trying to capture this guy, throw him in jail. They ultimately did, but they worked at it for a long time. It wasn't something that was going on, you know, in just a week or 10 days. They were after him for about 3 years, and it got worse and worse. You know, he got more and more lippy with them as time progressed along, and he was more and more offensive to them as time went on and on. In verse 45 and 46 here, he said, and when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard these parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now, the average Joe Sixpack on the street, he didn't have a problem with. He's out here teaching. These people are Jews. Now, remember, Jesus is a Jew, a blonde, blue-eyed German Jew. He's a Pharisee. Excuse me, he is a Pharaoh's line Jew, not a Pharisee now. The Pharisees, now, they're Edomite Jews, different brand. And they took exception to him. They didn't like his race, number one. They didn't like his doctrine, number two. And they were at war with him, number three, and they sought to kill him, number four, and they finally did. What do you think they're going to do to you? Have you ever read the protocols? Let me pull out the protocols here for a second. Let's take a look here and see what the protocols tell us. But before we do that, let me give you a mid-course reminder here that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. So be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing or recommending will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind, most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, now that we've taken care of the FCC and the government bureaucracy here, keep them happy and satisfied. Tell them who we are and where we're broadcasting from and to who. We can go on here with Jesus and the Pharisees now, and we took our break here for the mid-course information. I said, let's take a look at these protocols. Because back in 1884, the Zionists, they came up with a plan. And they said, this is the way we're going to proceed in order to perfect our agenda and subjugate the world to a one-world government, and we're going to control it. Now, this is a small group of people. The world today has about 7 billion people on it, and only about 20 to 30 million of them are Edomite Jews. Now, remember, we got a lot of Jews, probably 120 to 150 million Jews. That's descendants of Judah. There's four lines of people now that call themselves Jews, or that they don't call themselves Jews, but they actually are. Remember, these three that are actually descended from Judah are the Shela, Pharez, and Zerah lines. Now, this fourth line over here called Edomite Jews, they're the guys that are mentioned by Jesus in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 as being imposters. And those are the 30 million that are in control of the world right now. They're in control of the central banks. They're in control of the central governments. They control the think tanks. They control Skull and Bones. These policymakers. They control the president and the Congress. And not just here in the United States. I mean, around the world. These people are genius. I mean, they're being inspired by Satan. Satan is a genius. He's called the light bringer. Let's not discount him. I mean, what they have accomplished is nothing short of phenomenal. Let me give you an illustration. Let's suppose that you've got a football team and you got your 9 guys over there. And I've got my football team and I've got my 9 guys over here, and we're going to go play a football game. And you've got your cheerleaders and you've got your fans, and they're all cheering for you, and I've got my fans and they're cheering for me. Now, I want to win this game. And my chances of beating you in this game are probably about 50-50, assuming that, you know, your team's about as good as mine or mine's about as good as yours. But I want to give myself an edge. So what I do is I take one of my team players over here, and I'm going to give him to your team. I'm going to give you one of my players. I might even give you my quarterback. Now, my player is playing on your team. He's in your lineup, and he's over on your side. We Americans think in terms of it's our guys against your guys. These Edomites don't think that way. They think it's our guys coupled with our infiltrators working with your guys that's going to give us the edge. Now, our guy who's working on your team is actually working to make our team win. He's not working for your team. He's working for our team. So I got 9 players on my team, and I've got 1 player on your team. You're playing with 8 guys, and I'm playing with 10. Now, you might say, well, that's not fair. What in the world made you think that the world is fair, or that communism is fair, or that this war that we're engaged in is fair? Remember, the Edomites, their game plan is to win the game. They're not playing games. They're playing to win. Our side over here, we're trying to be fair. We want to play by all the rules. We want to be nice guys. Those guys aren't nice. They're not playing by the rules, and they're cheating. And here's the crazy part. We don't even know it. Now, our God told us that they're cheating. Our God told us, don't listen to them. Don't play this game with them. And we said, oh, no, we don't believe you, God. We believe them. We believe our adversaries. I know it doesn't make any sense, but that's the way the thing is set up. So here we are playing the game. Now, let's suppose that the guy on the other side is our man, and he's playing quarterback. So when he throws the ball, it's short or long, but he doesn't connect very often. Maybe he doesn't connect at all. If you take a look at our foreign policy over the last 75 years, can you point to any foreign policy decision that's ever worked for America, for the benefit of Americans? Take a look at cap and trade. Take a look at foreign trade. Take a look at the offshoring and the outsourcing. Is that beneficial to Joe Sixpack American? Name one. Send me a letter. Name one. You know, if this was a fair game and we were just playing the game, we might lose, but once in a while we would score some points, wouldn't we? We haven't scored a point in international geopolitics since FDR took office in 1933. Not a one. And now this latest round over here of the central banks over here foreclosing on our houses while we're giving them $15 trillion, which is the value for all of our houses at the same time. You think that's smart economics? They're sitting here owning the mortgages that we owe them $15 trillion. Well, hell, I don't deny we owe them $15 trillion. They're going upside down, and they say, okay, well, now all of you guys that owe us the $15 trillion, pay us that, give us that. We'll take it out of your taxes. We'll just put you further in debt. And then we'll keep these mortgages, and then we'll foreclose on you, take your houses. Can you think that's good economics? Boy, Uncle Esau thinks that's good economics, and he's right from his perspective. I mean, after all, his game plan is to win the game. And boys and girls, he won the game. He won this game back in the 1950s. He just hasn't told you about that yet. His game plan is to take over the entire world. He took over the United States of America in 1933. That was step one. And now he's been working on all the other nations of the world, and he's just about to the point now where he's in control. Now, there's still a couple of three guys out there that aren't on board, and I suspect that before we get through with this, we're going to go through World War III. And he's going to try to get those two or three guys on board. That's Russia and China. Russia and China. Now, the Japanese, I think, are going to jump ship on us. And there's a few more, I think, that are going to jump ship when it's all said and done. And when we get through with this thing, these guys, they have a game plan in mind. See, 30 million people can't control 7 billion, but 30 million can control 500 million. That's their game plan. That's why they're going to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. They've got a game plan. I said, but show that to you. It's in these things called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Listen to some of these. When talking about the press, they said, we shall saddle the press and keep tight rein upon it. We shall do the same also with other printed matter. For of what use is it to rid ourselves of attacks in the press if we remain exposed to criticism through pamphlets and books? Not one announcement will reach the people save under our supervision. That comes from places like Reuters, AP, and UP. You know, everything that you see over here that's being reported by Katie Couric and CBS and ABC and ABC, that's the mainstream press. What you read in Newsweek, Time Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, Time, you know, the New York Times. Hey, listen, that's the official party line. That's what you're supposed to hear. That's what we're going to tell you. Not one announcement will reach the people save under our supervision. We've attained this at the present time to the extent that all news is received through several agencies in which it is centralized from all parts of the world. That's Reuters, UPI, and AP. 60 Minutes, Fox News, Newsweek, NewsHour. And in step three, literature and journalism are two most important educational forces. And consequently, our government will become the owner of most of the journals. And if we permit 10 private journals, we'll organize 30 of our own, and so on. This must not be suspected by the public. And it isn't. The average Joe Sixpack, he doesn't suspect that Brian Williams is being paid by Uncle Esau. I'm not sure that Brian Williams would recognize Uncle Esau. That's the genius of this. Infiltration. You infiltrate the other side. You plant your ideas, your false doctrines with them. They buy into your false doctrines. This must not be suspected by the public, for which reason all of the journals published by us will be externally of the most contrary opinions and tendencies, thus evoking confidence in them and attracting our unsuspecting opponents, who thus will be caught in our trap and rendered harmless. Isn't that special? It's for this reason that we must undermine faith, eradicate from the minds of the Gentiles the very principles of God and soul, and replace these conceptions by mathematical calculations and material desires. Faith, God, soul are replaced by circuses and evolutionary philosophy. People of all opinions and all doctrines are at our service. Restorers of monarchy, demagogues, socialists, communists, and other utopians. We've put them all to work. Every one of them, from his point of view, is undermining the last remnant of authority and is trying to overthrow all existing order. All of the governments have been tormented by these actions, but we will not give them peace until they recognize our super government. When we introduced the poison of liberalism into the government organism, its entire political complexion changed. To each act of opposition, we must be in a position to respond by bringing on war through the neighbors of any country that dares to oppose us. And if these neighbors should plan to stand collectively against us, then we must let loose a world war. Now, the administrators chosen by us from the masses for their servility will not be persons trained for government, and consequently they will easily become pawns in our game, played by our learned and talented counselors, specialists educated from early childhood to administer world affairs. And as we know, our specialists have been acquiring the necessary knowledge for governing. These boys are planning on taking over the world. This is a world government coming down. And in the scripture, particularly in the book of Revelation, God himself says, yep, I'm going to let them do it. I'm going to let them do it to punish you. And what's happening here is, when we break the law, when we violate the Ten Commandments, Uncle Esau is being used by God to punish us for our violations of the law. The secret to our success has been obey God and keep his commandments, and we collect the benefits from Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. When we violate the law, we collect the penalties. That's the penal clause in the contract from Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So if you want to obviate the penalties that are coming down upon us, the solution is to go back to practicing the Ten Commandments. Quit listening to these phony doctrines, these false doctrines from Uncle Esau. The Babylonian Talmud and the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto are bad for you. The 10 commandments and the statutes, judgments, and laws of God are good for you. Now, that's the message that we got from our Creator. We thought we were a little smarter than he was, and we've said, well, we're going to cut a fat hog in the back here. And we're not going to follow that. And we haven't. Now, take a look at the result, and if that's what you want, stick with the program. Now, he goes on a step further. He says, the administrators chosen by us from the masses for their servility will not be persons trained for government. Now, take a look here in the United States. These people aren't trained for government. These people are Democrats and Republicans, and they want to go to Washington. They're career politicians. The ones that are in office and the ones that aren't in office want to become career politicians. And they're groomed by. They're trained in our colleges and universities. They're trained communist socialists. Barack Obama is a communist socialist. Joe Biden, our vice president, is a socialist, pure and simple. These are not principles in government that we get from the Bible. These are principles in government that come from the Talmudic Jews. They don't come from our side. They have controlled our entire thought process. They send us to public school, and they teach and train us to be socialists. That's why we believe in it. That's why we buy into it. Now, if you want to buy into socialism and communism and fascism, that's fine. And it's going to come to a no good end. I don't think you're going to be happy with this. Nobody in the past has ever been happy with it. Not very likely that you are either. The principles of republican government that we got from our Constitution and our founding fathers came from the Bible. The use of private property, hard money, gold and silver, no interest or usury and no banks or banking, no commercial paper, dealing in property instead of trafficking. Those are the things that made America great. Those are the things that made the world prosperous. Now, when you change those, you take those away, and you replace those with from each according to his ability and to each according to his need, and you take away property and you replace that with regulation, then you have succeeded in replacing property with socialism, and it's got a negative result. Take a look at your world economy out here. It wasn't caused because you're using gold and silver coin now, was it? Well, you haven't touched specie money for 75 years. Going on, he says, these are the protocols now, they go on to say, to prevent them from really thinking about anything themselves, we shall deflect their attention to amusements, games, pastimes, excitements, and people's palaces. TV, movies, baseball, and the Super Bowl. The Americans don't think in terms of international geopolitics or reason, logic, or common sense. Americans, if you were to ask them, it's like jaywalking. You should watch Jay Leno. He's really good. He goes out once a week jaywalking, and he interviews people, typically from college, and he asks some questions like, where would you find the Great Wall of China? Or where is the Panama Canal? And these people can't answer. These are college kids. These are people that are educated. These are people that are registered to vote. One young lady, he said, he pointed to the American flag. It's flapping in the breeze. And he says, how many stars are in that flag? And she says, I don't know. It's moving too fast. I can't count them. Now, for you people in England, I can understand that. If you were an Englishman and you said, well, I don't know how many stars are in the American flag, there's a bunch of them. But you know, we're Americans, and all of us over here have 50 states in our union. There's 50 stars in our flag. and there's 13 stripes. And these 13 stripes represent our first 13 colonies. And, you know, we should have learned that in the first grade. I think that's where I learned that from Mrs. Sorensen in the first grade in Corbell, California. Now, when you've got college people over here, or post-college people, you know, being asked, how many stars in the flag? Where's the Great Wall of China? Guy doesn't know where the Great Wall of China is located. Can't tell you where the Panama Canal is located. Come on. When you can't answer those kinds of questions, you can't think any longer. These are people that are going to be elected to your Congress, for crying out loud. Are these the kind of people that you think are going to lead you into the future, to happiness and success and financial well-being and to leadership in the world? Huh? Is that what you're thinking? They go on to tell us that in this divergence between the Gentiles and ourselves, an ability to think and reason is to be seen clearly the seal of our election as the chosen people, as higher human beings in contrast with the Gentiles who have merely instinctive and animal minds. They observe, but they do not foresee, and they invent nothing. It's clear from this that nature herself, notice nature herself, nature that represents God, and herself predestined us to rule and guide this world. And these guys have an agenda. They've got a goal. They've got a plan. They know what they're going to do here. And I just thought I'd point that out to you. I'm not really sure that Americans know what's coming down. And as a result of that, I think that Jay Leno did us a great service. See, it identifies people in America who have been dumbed down to a degree that they are totally dysfunctional. Just totally dysfunctional. You put those people out here in a field, and they won't know how to pick the potatoes or the tomatoes. You give those people a live chicken and they'll starve to death. They'll make the chicken a pet, and the chicken and the guy you gave it to will starve to death. They don't know how to kill a chicken. They don't know how to dress it. They don't know how to cook it. That has to be done by McDonald's. They buy chicken McNuggets. They don't know how to kill and pluck a chicken. Well, so be it. That's the story. That's Uncle Esau. We're talking about Jesus and the Pharisees. Uncle Esau represented the Pharisees. Jesus saw it plainly. And he called Uncle Esau to task, and he said, "You're a hypocrite, a liar, a blind leader of the blind." Hey, I'm out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. And God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.